Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our speaker today is the University President, Dr. Bob Jones III. Today he'll bring part one of a message titled, Make the Voice of God's Praise to be Heard. The text is from Psalm 66, verses 8 through 12.
On behalf of all the faculty and staff and administration, I'd like to welcome you back and say to the new students, we're so glad to have you. I hope by now you've already begun to feel at home, and most of you have visited the campus on previous occasions, so you're not strangers here, and we want you to immediately feel that you're a part of the university family. I know the old students will go out of their way to help you in that regard, to do anything we can to make you know that your presence here is treasured. And we are delighted that God has brought you here for the further growth and direction of your life in grace and godliness. We're looking forward greatly to the ministry tonight and tomorrow night of Evangelist Barry Webb. Many of you have heard him in your churches. He's a much used man of God, much blessed man of God. And we're in prayer. I hope you're in prayer as well for the blessings of God upon these opening days, including the opening services. Certainly, I'm praying for you and your opening classes and for your faculty and for the dormitory leadership. It's exciting to think what God might be pleased to do here in our midst. Now, I hope that you have had a wonderful Christmas break. I hope you've had great times of fun and fellowship with your friends and your family, and much blessing from God and usefulness to God in your churches. I read a letter just this morning from a father. I want to share a portion of it with you. He said, permit me to share some parental insights regarding blank, he named his son, return from his first semester at BJU. When I picked him up at the airport, he was 10 feet tall. He's learned so much and grown down deep in his soul. He's applied himself academically, managed to see all A's on his report card. He hastened to give praise to the Lord for his enablement. Spiritually, he has grown so much. He said that as he began the semester, his personal devotion and Bible reading program were non-negotiable. No matter what classwork demanded, he would not fail in his daily walk with the Lord. He remained true to that resolution. His society evangelism extension put him in contact with all kinds of people. His experience made him more aware of the world around him and his need to grasp and communicate the gospel to all sorts of people. After his time of rest during the Christmas break, he asked for opportunities to preach. Please tell the faculty and staff that there are parents and students who appreciate their work and sacrifice. It is paying off. Well, that's a wonderful report that we delight in hearing, and I'm sure it could be repeated thousands of times, and I trust it is true in your life, that you are energetic for the Lord, involved for the Lord, and that when you stand before the Lord one day to give an account for this almost 1 month that we've been apart, that you'll be able, without shame, to stand and give Him an account that brings glory to His name and satisfaction to His heart. Would you please open your Bibles this morning to Psalm 66. Psalm 66. By the way, I can't think of a better way for you to start off the semester than with the kind of resolve this young man had as he started first semester. That is, I will not let anything intrude on my daily time before the Lord, my prayer and Bible reading time. Have you ever made a resolution to the Lord about that? Do you have a consistent performance in that regard? I hope so. If not, this is the time to start it. Can't imagine the Christian life without that daily time before the Lord, because He is our life. He is what our Christian life is about. Christian life is not about church. It is not about school. It is not about activity. It is about a person. It's about the Lord Jesus. All of these other things flow from that, stem from that. What kind of relationship do you have with the Lord Jesus? If you don't have that time, then today, tell Him you will have. And then be faithful to the commitment that you make. And let's hold each other accountable for this, ladies and gentlemen. Don't be offended if your prayer captain says, tell me about your personal daily devotion time. What have you learned from the Lord today? The Bible says that we are to admonish one another daily. If that prayer captain says that to you, or that friend, or your society chaplain, all they're really doing is what the Scripture says we ought to all be doing to each other and for each other. Holding each other accountable before God as brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what the Christian faith is about. That's what the Christian practice one with another is about. So let's do it. Let's do it. And don't be offended when somebody admonishes you daily. It should be a joy and a blessing to you that they care that much about you and about the Lord. For the sake of you who are new, let me just very quickly say that having your intellect satisfied here and your career success enhanced here is not our objective. Maybe your objective, it's not the objective of the faculty and staff. Let me say that again. The satisfaction of your intellectual growth, the personal satisfaction you get from learning, increasing in knowledge, and your future success in your career path, that's not our objective. Now, if all that happens as a spin-off result of our objective, then that's wonderful. But that's not our target. There's some things here much more important to us that I hope are also equally important with you. The condition of your soul. That's of primary importance. The quality of your character. The love of your heart. The direction of your life. The manifestations of your spirit. The surrender of your will. Those are some of the things that are high on the list of our priority. This is why BJU exists. Now, obviously, the state university, the secular institution, would care nothing at all for those things. And I assume it's because you do care about those things that you are here rather than in a pagan place that cares nothing for these things. If you care about these things, then we're a good match for each other because we care about these things too. And they're what we care about the most. Let me say those again. The condition of your soul, the quality of your character, the love of your heart, the direction of your life, the manifestations of your spirit, and the surrender of your will to God. These things are of ultimate importance to us. And everything here is done and designed to promote growth in these areas of your life. In Psalm 66, verse 8, we read these words, "O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of His praise to be heard." To be sounded abroad, to be noised about, to be spoken with purpose, to be unashamed of, to be proclaimed with exuberance. What are we talking about here? The praise of God. The Bible says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." This is a place where those who love the Lord and have an answer to prayer and some special overflowing joy in their soul about what God has done in them, for them, with them, through them. It's talked about here. Because the Lord is to be praised for what He has done. For His wonderful works, the Bible says, to the children of men. How can we contain the praise of God? I'm hoping that God will do such wonderful things in your soul this semester that it will flow out in unashamed, unrestrained, joyful telling to others in your prayer groups, in your societies, in your conversations, if opportunity is granted in class before class starts and that sort of thing. Tell what God has done for you. Tell what He's done for you over the holidays. I was talking to a pastor on the phone 3 or 4 days ago, and he said, "We have seen wonderful answers to prayer during these Christmas times in the lives of some of our students from BJU who are back home. We have seen miracles," he used the word, "we have seen miracles done in answered prayer. Needs met that only the Lord could have met." And these students are so excited, they don't know what to do. Well, the proper thing to do, if you're excited about what the Lord is doing, is to tell about it. The theme of this 75th year is reflecting God's light. That's what testimony is. It's letting the Lord shine off of you to others, so others can see Him in you. Well, if He is in you, then tell about it. Reflect His light. And do it with your Christian friends here. A life that is not like that is immediately suspect by everybody around you as whether the Lord is in you, and certainly whether He is at work in you. One thing to have the Lord in you in salvation is another thing to have the kind of life that is right with God and loving God so that God can be working in you. Can you point to anything during Christmas that says God has worked in me during this Christmas time for the sake of somebody else? Then tell about it. It's not reflecting credit on you. It's reflecting credit on what the Lord has done through you. It's amazing that God should do anything through us, isn't it? We're poor, pathetic, sin-flawed creatures. And what a miracle of the goodness and grace of God. What a testimony to who the Lord is, that He would allow people like us to be servants of His through whom He can work. So the psalmist is saying here, bless the Lord, ye people. Don't draw attention to you, but to Him. Bless the Lord with your praise. Make the voice of it to be heard. It's one thing to say, well, I praise God in my heart. That's not enough. The psalmist said, the voice of our praise is to be heard. Tell people what God is doing in you and through you. That's what brings Him glory. That's how you reflect God's light. The voice of your praise. Why is it that the psalmist was so inclined? What was going on in his life that made him so exuberant that he was letting the voice of God's praise be heard through him and was urging others to do the same? Well, the text here tells us. The first few verses after verse 8 tell us that the psalmist was full of praise because the God he is praising is a God who interacts with us. Think about that now. The God that we praise is the God who interacts with us. Look at verse 9. Bless the God which holdeth our soul in life and suffereth not our feet to be moved. He said, first of all, let's praise God with our voices because He's a God who interacts with us. He's not like Allah, we would say today. He is not like Allah, the God Allah, who doesn't exist, who is the God of the Quran, the God of Islam, is a transcendent God who hides Himself in the heavens and metes out judgment to His people, but has no love, no interaction, no concern, no daily involvement with them. A remote, aloof, hiding, transcendent God who is just full of wrath and judgment for His people and who will let it fly against them at every opportunity, but withholds love and personal relationship from His creatures. The God of the Bible is not like that. By the way, the God of the Quran is not the God of America. Let's understand that. Islamic people, like all other religious people under the Constitution, are guaranteed religious freedom in this country, and we ought to fight and die for the preservation of that. But that doesn't mean that churches in America or government officials in America should bow to them and make them believe that the God Allah, the God of the Quran, is the God of America. Our founding fathers knew nothing of the Quran. They had no respect for the Quran. They did not come to this country that they might be free to worship God according to the Quran. They came that they might be free to worship God according to the Bible. The God of the Bible is the God of America. The God of our founding fathers is the God of the Bible. And we don't owe the God of the Quran anything. The Muslim does. But we Christians do not. And we don't have to bow and scrape before Allah. It is a blasphemy to God if we do. But at the same time, they should not be persecuted for their religious beliefs. This is a land of religious freedom. But if they come to these shores, they come to a country, the God of the founding fathers was the God of the Bible. If we go to their country, there is no religious freedom. If we go to Muslim countries and we speak of the Christ of the Scriptures, such people who do that, the missionaries and the believers who do that, are persecuted. There is no religious freedom in their countries. It's Allah or nothing. It's Allah or off with your head. But in this country, they come to these shores. They have freedom to worship Allah. But they need to understand that Allah is not the God of America. And Allah is certainly not the God of the Bible. Allah and Jehovah have nothing in common. The psalmist is saying here, we bless our God because He holds our soul in life. He preserves us. He joins soul with life, soul with body. He breathed into man the breath of life after He created the body of Adam, and man became a living soul. He's the God who owns the soul. The soul that will exist after it has been separated from earthly life. The Bible says of the believer, absent from the body, present with the Lord. We don't cease to exist when we die. He's the God who during this earthly life holds soul and life together. He determines the length of our earthly life. He keeps them together until He wishes to part them. Young people, you and I owe our life, our earthly life, to Him. We're not evolutionary accidents. We're created, God-ordained beings. That's one of the reasons that abortion is such an atrocity. The murder of the life in the womb is a God-given life, and man does not have the right to take that life. And God's judgment will come upon those who do. God is the author of life. We praise Him for our life. Lord, thank You for letting me see the light of another day. Thank You for letting me stay here to serve You another day. When You're ready for me to serve You in glory, Lord, I'm ready to serve You in glory. But so long as I'm here, You've joined my soul to life for another day in this world. You've preserved me for another day. You've kept me for another day. You've established that I should have another day or another hour in this world. You have set the time. You've appointed the time of my existence. Young people, that's why we praise God. I hope you praise Him for the life He has given you. I hope you're not here today despairing of life. I hope you're not here today with suicidal thoughts. I hope you value the life that God has given you. And that you want to give it back to Him so that He can use that life for the purpose for which He gave it and created it. He says in the last part of verse 9, Thou sufferest not our feet to be moved. He said, Lord, You don't only give me the life, but You keep me in the pathway of life. You keep my feet headed the direction You want them to go. Now, He'll only do that for a person who says, Lord, direct my feet. Lord, my pathway is Your pathway. I don't want to walk any path that is not Your chosen path for me. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. I hope you are conscious that your presence here today is a God-ordained presence, that He has directed your steps here. Now, if He has, He will keep your feet from being moved off the pathway of His purpose. If this is the pathway of His purpose for you, you dare not move your feet off the pathway, because then you're on your own, and that's scary. It would be terrifying to live this life according to my instincts and my best judgments and my own self-will, because I'm out from under the protection and direction of God when I do that. And so are you. He not only gives me life, He not only ordains the origin of it, the length of it, the culmination of it, how it began, how it ended, and everything in between. But He preserves my steps. He won't let my steps be moved if I've committed my way unto the Lord, if I've trusted also in Him. The Bible says He will bring it to pass, and He'll do it for you and for me both. Aren't you glad we have a God like that? Aren't you glad that you have a God who knows your path and knows every step that you make on it? And if you belong to Him, He has ordained it. If you've committed your way unto the Lord and trusted in Him, then your very steps are directed to Him. And He won't let your feet be moved. He'll give you the perseverance to stand any hardship. He'll keep your character. He won't let you be moved if you've committed your way to Him and trusted in Him. Now look, if you want to be moved, you can be moved. If you don't want God to direct your steps, you're on your own and you're in big trouble. And the consequences will be yours. But the psalmist found it in his heart to praise God that God was in control of his steps and would hold him in character and in direction of life. What a wonderful way to live life. If you want to leave Bob Jones University, if you want to take your feet off the pathway when you graduate, that God has directed you for these years and in the life of your church before you came here in a fundamental church and in your family direction, if you had a Christian family, if you want to willfully step out from that and say, I'm going another way, you have the free will and the choice to do that. God will allow you to do that. But all the consequences, all the misery of it, all the failure and heartache of it will be of your making and it won't be God's. Because He's promised something better. He's promised that there will be blessing and cause for praise for those who belong to Him, who walk with Him, because He won't let your feet to be moved. If you want to go out of here after you graduate and join a church that will tell you what you want to hear and allow you to live in the pursuit of alcohol and the pursuit of carnality and sexual lust and greedy ambition and materialism, you can find a church whose pastor will tell you that's all right. But you don't only have the word of the pastor for it. You certainly will not have the word of God for it. I thank God that we have reason to praise Him for keeping our feet from being moved. And He said in verse 10, I praise God that He is a God who has proved us and tried us as silver. It is said that silver is refined 7 times so that all the impurities ultimately can be washed away and the pure essence of the silver remains. He purifies. Thank God He purifies. Thank God for His convicting presence. Thank God that when sermons are preached and the Bible is read and the rebuke of the Holy Spirit comes to our heart and we drop to our knees and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, that the mercy of God is extended, the blood of Christ cleanses from sin, and we are purified before a holy God. That's cause to bless God and praise His name. And then in verses 11 and 12, he thanked God for prescribing for his life. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. What's the psalmist saying here? God, you prescribed hardship for me. You prescribed the net where my feet were caught. You prescribed people to take advantage of me, to ride over my head. You prescribed the fire and the water, the depths that seemed to overflow me. Lord, where does trouble come from? Sometimes of our own making. Sometimes God sends it, like He allowed it to come to Job. Yeah, well, it was the devil who tested Job, but God said, you have the permission to do it. So in a sense, it was God testing Job. You had trouble at Christmas. Some of you came back here, you've been beat up bad. You say, Lord, what happened to me? Well, maybe God ordained it. If He did, thank God. thank Him for it. Because you know what He wants from it? He wants you to come out in a better place. It says in verse 12, Lord, You did all of this. You ordained this. You prescribed the hardships, the buffeting, the testing, the rebuke, the reproach, the necessities. You prescribed this, Lord, because You wanted me to come out in a better place, just like He wanted Job to come out in a better place. Job said, I'm confident that when I'm tried, I shall come forth as gold. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says that these things work for us a far more and exceeding eternal weight of glory. If you'll let God keep you in the crucible, in the fire of testing, when you come out, it'll be in a better place. The English word here is wealthy place, but it could be translated a moist place. No more dry, parched, miserable, desert sort of earth for me, but a moist, verdant garden where God wants me to be put as a result of the testing. Don't remove yourself from the furnace. Yeah, it's not pleasant to be there, but when God brings you through it, it's because He loves you too much to have left you in the dry desert where you were before. He wants you to be in a moist place. So the psalmist said, let's praise God. Let's praise God that we have a God who interacts with us in this way. He's a wonderful God. He's involved with my life today. He knows my post office box number, and He knows when I can't pay my bills, and He's able to take care of me. He's able to give me strength to work and health and purpose and reason for living. He's a wonderful God. He's with me today. What a wonderful truth to start this semester off on. And what wonderful cause we have to praise God. I hope your heart's overflowing with praise. We'll continue the message tomorrow. Let's stand, shall we? Please don't bother with your books or your coats. We're going to stand before the Lord's throne. We bless Thy name, Lord. If we love Thee today, it is because Thou hast first loved us and given Thyself for us. There are many miracles seated in this auditorium. They've seen Your hand. They know that You're mighty. They know that You're not a remote, uninvolved, aloof, uncaring God, but that You love Your own redeemed people. And we praise Your name. Let us not be ashamed of it here among our friends or anywhere we go. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was the university president, Dr. Bob Jones III. For a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.